All right, this is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
You're welcome. Girl Gaming and Anime Podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And Magic Mystic couldn't make it this week.
Nope.
So it's just a sister cast. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, let me do a little bit of the business because, you know, we got to keep it short and sweet, but we still have to do it. You have to keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com. We write stuff for you to read, and we really enjoy that you, like, enjoy reading it and stuff. So keep that up.
So keep reading.
Yeah,
reading
keep
is
reading.
Good and fundamental.
It is fundamental. The more you know. Bling, don't do it. Okay, moving on. You can still enter each week to win our weekly sweepstakes. You could get free candy or
Yummy.
A t-shirt.
Cool.
Because, you know, I'd just be making t-shirts and, you know, giving them to people sometimes. You just can't stop me. I'm going to do it. You don't know when I'm going to do it.
She going to do it. And she did it.
Yeah. You just don't know when. So all you have to do to enter the sweepstakes is comment on an article on the website. Please be sure to leave your name and an email address so that if you win, we can, you know, get in touch with you.
Give you what you win, because what's the point of winning if you can't, you know, take it?
Reap, you know, the benefits of being a winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wiener.
She said wiener. Or you can click on the Hit Us Up link on the website and fill out the form and click the little button that enters you into the sweepstakes. And like that, be done with it. So, that brings us to this week's Candy Bitch. Drum roll, please.
Candy Bitch!
Ro, you got Candy Bitch!
You got Candy Bitch!
Yay! Oh,
hurrah! Huzzah!
And what she said only doubled. So, we will be contacting you very shortly so that you can retrieve your candy.
Yes! Eat it. Enjoy it. Tell us about it.
She
take
said
pictures
eat it.
With it.
Nothing sexually explicit, people.
I meant the candy.
Yeah, I'm talking about don't be sexually explicit with the candy. There are some freaky people out there. All right, anyway. I love the freaky people. I love you. Okay. And then the last little bit of business that I have is we are launching today our ESH arcade.
Our arcade?
Yes, and basically what we've done is, are you familiar with the little Google widgets that you can put, like, on your desktop and have, like, little games that you can play and things like that? Well, Google basically has now created a way for you to use those widgets on a web page. So we went and we grabbed all of the game widgets that we thought were fun, including we made a Sisters quiz. And basically, how well do you know the Sisters at Electric Sisterhood? This quiz will test your knowledge of the sisters. For instance, what color are Ninja Sisters' panties? The answer? That's another podcast.
Oh.
You thought I was going to tell you what color my panties are. No. Hey! You're not supposed to tell! Dang it! Now I gotta change my panties. Alright, moving on. So, we've got the arcade that's launching today, and we're gonna have some classic games. So, we're gonna have Bejeweled on there, and Tetris, and you're gonna be able to do some Sudoku stuff, some Mahjong, but also play Mahjong. A little Hangman, do a little, you know, side-scroller racy thing, and we also have a U.S. bra size calculator. It's not necessarily a game, but it could come in handy. You never know.
Hey, 80% of all women are wearing the wrong bra.
I know, but that's another podcast.
That's another podcast. And don't ask me how I know that.
In any case, that's all the business that I have right now, so I'm going to turn the mic over to you. What are you going to do with it, Pandalicious?
I'm going to hit it up with some WoW this week.
Oh, WoW.
Hey, guys, everyone out there, gamers and anime people alike, even South Park fans, finally, they have found a way to merge these three things together in a glorified unity. And with that,
I thought you were gonna say Minaj, but okay.
Well, it could be a Minaj of great proportions. proportions.
Lubrication, people. That's all we're saying. Please continue.
But I've decided to post this rant that I'm going to give you guys today, the day the world of Warcraft stood still. As many of you guys will know, I am very much a WoW-aholic.
No! Not you.
Hey, at least I can admit that I have a problem. I can admit
That's the first step to recovery.
Yes, it is. You know, when I'm not in school or doing things for the site or trying to have a life away from my computer.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. Let's change that order. When you're not on WoW.
When I'm not on WoW.
And when you're not on WoW, when you're not in school, when you're not doing stuff with people, and then trying to get stuff up for the website, because, you know, we got to be honest here.
Right. You know, I do... I do watch TV when none of those things are going on. And I was about to log into WoW one evening. You know, I'm bringing you into the life of Pandalicious, guys, so, you know, get comfortable. And now, you know, because of the patch update, they will give you, you know, a little WoW update. You know, a little shows you what's going on, showing talent skills for the new expansion. But they also are making reference to South Park, because the creators of South Park decided that it was now time to address the WoW phenomenon, or more or less the WoW epidemic. The sickness, the infection, the lust, and the passion for that, which is WoW. And
yes.
They've finally done it. It came on Wednesday. Around 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. So everyone who's not in Eastern Standard Time, I don't know what that means for you. You probably saw it before me, or maybe even after me. You know,
or
and
the only ones who saw it after you would be the people on Pacific Time.
Okay, well then, people on Pacific Time, you probably caught it after me. The people who come after Eastern Time probably saw it before me. Or after, before.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself. Just move on. Okay, it came on.
Yes, it did. And I was excited, you know, and I had logged out of WoW because I couldn't set it up with the room that we have the giant TV in. You know, I ushered the lovely mother of Ninja and myself out of the room with the big TV. And
sometimes you do have to, you know, usurp the TV from the parental unit.
Yes, and I very much did that. And I have to say, guys, that the creators of South Park hit this on the fucking nose. I was roaring with laughter. There were a couple of mistakes, though, that, let me tell you, no veteran WoW player would let slide.
Uh-oh.
All right, guys, here's the rundown on the episode, if you didn't get to watch it, or if you don't mind hearing it over and over again. It starts off...
Repetition is good.
Yes, it is. They aired it a couple of times the night that it premiered, because apparently it was just a roar.
Well, the thing is, they do that anyway.
They've played
a
couple
Comedy
of times.
Comedy Central doesn't have a whole lot of programming to go on, actually, after the Daily Show and Colbert Report, which are the most awesomest shows that every human being really does need to watch. So after those shows, they pretty much just rerun their evening programming again that might be interesting. So two times
starts,
to South Park, two times to fun.
It starts off with if you've ever played Alliance, and everyone who's ever played WoW will have made at least one Alliance character. It will start off in the area where humans start off in, which is near the Northshire Abbey, near Goldshire, and you see this dwarf in really decked out red armor, by the way, come walking up, and in a big resounding voice, be like, "Man, I just took the biggest dump," and it's Cartman, you know, and he's all like, "Where the hell are you guys?" And they're like, "Oh, we're over here by the cart," and you see three other characters, a warrior decked out in all blue, a mage in green, and something that looks like a hunter. I wasn't particularly sure. This is where a lot of questions have been coming up with WoW players, because no one could discern if he was a hunter or just another type of warrior. And obviously that was Kenny. So these, you know, and they're living it up. And they're living it up in Goldshire. And like, oh, yeah, we got to go finish that quest. So they go off, and they're walking, and they're like, oh, fuck, dude. Here comes that guy who killed us the other night. Now, for all resident WoW players, you know that you can't engage in killing people unless you okay it with, you know, a duel, or if you're PvP'd. So there's mistake number one. And here comes this naked human, well, not naked, he was wearing, like, his long bottom pants, with a helm on and boots. And, you know, you can type in a particular emote that makes your character dance, and whoever did this, you know, obviously made their character dance. It looked like it was the dance of the paladin, so I was a little thrown off because, you know, he's standing there and they're like, hey, jerk off, you shouldn't have killed us and all that stuff. And the guy takes out a blade, stabs Kenny's character and kills him. So, of course, they do their famous, oh, my God, he killed Kenny.
You get Kenny, you bastard.
That's right. So, so you know, and Kyle's like, you know, Kyle's like, you can't, they can't do that. We didn't agree to duel. And this character goes and maliciously kills the whole party. And they're all like, what the fuck? You know, and, you know, beforehand, you kind of see Stan's dad walk by, and Stan's dad is, you know, Kyle, you kind of been in your room all weekend. You might want to go do some, like, activity. And he's like, screw you, Artard. I'm on the WoW. I'm on WoW, and I'm with my friends, and we're XPing, and I'm on TeamSpeak. You know, like, he's, no lie.
Oh, where have I heard that before?
Anyway, so.
It's
so,
like they know me. I'm sorry. Please continue.
So, you know, so Carmen gets it in his head that maybe they can take down the super level guy if he gets a big group of people together. So he gets all of his friends from school together, everyone except Butters, you know, and they're like, we gotta, you know, take this guy down and we gotta fight him and we can do it in numbers, you know, and Butters is like, but I don't even play WoW. And everyone just kind of stops. And he's like, you know, Cartman's like, Butters, but you told us that you're on your computer, like, all the time. And he goes, I am, but I'm playing Hello Kitty Wild Treasure Adventure.
Yes! Yes! Hello Kitty is the bomb! Hello Kitty will rule you all! I'm sorry, please continue.
So, so of course, all the characters kind of look down at Butters, and, you know, Carmen's just like, Butters, leave, go buy WoW, and join the online session before we kill you. So Butters is like, okay, man. So he, like, leaves. So they all decide to go on WoW the next night to go take down this guy. So you see all of these characters, and they're in a particular area. And you see, when you do the pan out of the screen, they're outside of Haverfall, which is technically a troll base or an orc base. So they wouldn't have been out there because Alliance characters can't even get that close because you'll flag and they'll kill you. But that's mistake number two. That's beside the point. So they're outside, and they're ready and raring to, you know, beat this guy's ass, and here comes Butters, and Butters' character looks exactly like Cartman's, and Cartman is pissed. Cartman's like, you can't be the dwarf character, because I'm the dwarf character. And he's like, but I came on WoW, like you said. He's like, go offline, re-log in, and make a new character, you dumbass. You know, and as he's leaving, he's like, Hello Kitty's Wild Treasure Adventure is so much better than this. You know, like... And they're all, like, ready. They all have their characters. You see night elves. You're seeing humans. You know, you're seeing gnomes. You know, and dwarf. And Cartman's the only dwarf character. And here comes the naked paladin guy. But the weird thing about this paladin guy is he was casting mage spells, which I thought was kind of odd because paladins can't cast arcane spells. And he summoned scorpids, which I don't believe mages can do. So there were a couple of things that definitely weren't up to par,
right?
But a lot of the inner jokes, you know, were radiating so clear. You find out that the bad guy is like this dork gone bad. He's fat and he's smelly and he doesn't leave his house. And you know, it cuts to the higher ups at Blizzard, and they're like, man, we've been getting so many comments about, you know, people's characters being killed in the world of Warcraft, and we don't know what to do, you know, and they're like, well, he's like, people are going to get so fed up, they're going to stop playing if we don't do something, you know, and this Chinese guy's like, it's just like the prophecy said, and they're like, what prophecy, you know, and it's like, that one day foreign people would come to the aid of Blizzard and would bring down the evil forces that, you know, laid upon them, so they totally bring out the whole epic aspect of this game, you know, and they're like, yeah, but there's only one way that we can do that, and they're like, and it's like, we must give them the sword of 1,000 truths.
Oh, you know, God.
You know, and some of the people were like, God, no, we can't do that, it was too powerful, it will consume whoever we give it to, and all that type of stuff, you know, and they're like, well, they're not even at the level to use it yet. So they, you know, like, they can't be the people that the prophecy foretold of. Mm-hmm. But little do we know, Cartman, the mastermind. I have to say that Cartman definitely did a good job being a leader in this episode. And, he was trying to, you know, tell everybody that they needed to level and all this type of stuff, which is stuff that you'll hear if you're in a guild in WoW. You'll hear it constantly, you know, and they were just like, well, we can't get on because when we get on and we try to do quests, this guy kills us. And it's like, that's why we hide in the forest and we kill boars. Which you might not find funny because you don't play.
Right.
But for people who play, you know, it sounds like a good idea, but in generality, after a while, after you've leveled so much, certain animals become grayed out, so you don't get XP for killing them anymore. So, you know, that's mistake number three. but, you know, in the instance of the episode, you know, right on, so you see them, they kind of do a whole montage episode, you know, segment.
You gotta have a montage! Montage! Always fade
World
out
please.
Music.
Team
That's right. Team America, World Please. Team,
yes, that's right.
Oh, I love that. Those puppets were so wrong. Please continue.
But anyway, so you see them leveling, and they're getting higher up. And as you see, you know, they're not leaving their rooms. They're in front of their computers. They have, like, Rockstar energy drinks, you know, and they're arching themselves.
Oh, shit. Before I forget, because you mentioned energy drink, there's this new energy drink, okay? One of our ESH friends, oh, my God, Bob, you're the fucking man. Okay, hook me up. Okay, there's this energy drink. I already, like, put myself on the mailing list for this thing when I find out whenever it's going to be someplace other. Like, right now it's just in L.A. and in Vegas. But it's called Cocaine. I shit you not. If you go to drinkcocaine.com, you can see it. Okay, it's got, like, 280 milligrams of caffeine in it. Okay, where, just to give you an idea, okay, like, Red Bull has 80.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I'm like, dude, please tell me that they're going to make, like, tall boys this shit. And he's like, I don't know, but just to let you know, the website's up. I was like, I have got to get this
Holy
shit.
Crap.
Yeah, all right, please, I just had to share that. DrinkCocaine.com! All right, go ahead.
But anyway, so, you know, you see all four of the characters, which I also thought was funny because, you know, Kenny's supposed to be broke ass. So there's no way in the world of South Park Kenny could ever afford a computer.
Ah, he probably has a Dell.
Anyway, mistake number four. But anyway, you know, so they're playing, and you see them, and they have these energy drinks, and their rooms become messes, and they become fat, and they start getting pimples, and they pretty much have no life, which is what the prophecy that the guys at Blizzard were talking about. That four people would become lifeless and would be able to battle the forces of evil. So they just, so the four guys decide that they're going to engage in battle with the super high level naked paladin mage guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, so they all bring their computers to Cartman's basement, and Cartman has it set up so they all have, like, speakers, you know, speaker phones on their desk so that they can call Cartman's mom. You know, because they can't leave their computers for a minute. You know,
I know these guys.
I'm sorry, go ahead. So, like, you see them, and they're like, we're ready to engage. You know, and Cartman's like, okay, Stan, are you ready with that intellect buff? Yeah. It's like, Kenny, it's like, do you have your stuff up to beast mastery? Yep. All right, good. It's like, we're about to advance. You know, and, like, and you see them, they're all at their separate computers. They're all fat and disgusting, and they have no life. Mind you, the people from Blizzard are trying, they tracked where the their IP addresses were for the game so that they could come to South Park,
right,
to bestow upon them the 2 gig flash drive which contains the Sword of 1,000 Truths. And they get to Stan's house. Now, mind you, Stan's dad has been secretly playing WoW at his job, but he's a very low level, and he's a noob, you know, and the guys show up, the Blizzard guys show up, and they're like, we need to find your son, Stan. He's like, we need to find I Love to Splooge. And he's like, that's my fucking name. And it was. I was like, that's my wow. And it's like, we must give him this weapon so that he can battle the evil one and save the world of Warcraft. So, and it's like, if we don't hurry up, your son's character will die. You know, and the father's like, let's go. So they run upstairs, and of course Stan's not there because I told you they moved all their computers
to Cartman's
house. So like, oh no, but they've already engaged in battle. We must give him a sword. And they're like, well, one of us has to have an account. You know, and one of the guys was like, I don't have an account. He's like, neither do I. What do we do? You know, and then Stan's dad's like, I have an account on Warcraft. And they're like, he's like, but I'm kind of new at it. And he's like, we cannot entrust the Sword of a Thousand Truths to a noob. You know, which everyone who's played Warcraft was totally laughing their asses off at this point, because you have to play the game to understand why this is so funny. So, but they're like,
I'm sorry, I don't play the game, and you know, just the character with the name of I Love to Splooge right there, I'm funny perfectly.
It's hilarious. So, you know, they give the flash drive to Stan's dad, and he holds it up like a mighty sword, and he's all like, wow. You know, because they tell you that there's like 120 or 180 damage every 2 seconds with an increase in stamina by 80, which is definitely good for, I believe, warriors. But then again, I've never played a warrior, so I wouldn't know. But as soon as they said that, I was all like, sweet! You know, because it just sounds badass, you know? So they're like, well, we have to find a computer that works. So they, like, run to Best Buy, you know, and Stan runs in, and he's like, where's your Warcraft? I need to play. And they're like, there's a demo of the expansion over there. You know, so they run over, and there's a king, and they knock the kid out of the way. So he's like, logging in, and, you know, and it cuts to, and they actually showed the game, like, in the episode. Uh-huh. It wasn't like crappy drawn. They actually, I believe they got onto a private server to do this. You know, and you see the four characters, you know, and they're fighting this paladin guy, you know, and, you know, Kyle's like, man, I'm out of mana. I can't cast any more spells, you know, and, like, everyone's like, hold, like, keep holding, you know, and then, of course, you know, Kyle's like, oh, my God, I have carpal tunnel. So he jumps out of his, you know, his chair, and he's all fat. And Stan's like, oh, no, this is really bad. What do we do? And Cartman's like, hold on, I have Bengay. So he grabs some Bengay, and he's rubbing it on Kyle's hand. And he's like, can't we go any faster? And Cartman's like, I can only go this fast. Hold on. You know, and Kenny's still fighting. And, you know, and they're doing a good job. No one's died yet. They're struggling. They've been playing for hours. And they show the countdown of how long they've been playing. You know, so then it cuts back to the game, and you see Stan's father's character running up to Stan. And it's like, son, and, you know, and Stan's like, we're not playing right now, we're in the middle of a really important battle, and, like, you know, bitching him out, you know, and he's like, but I've come to give you this sword, and it looked really sweet, you know, and, you know, and Stan's like, where the hell did you get that? And it's like, it's not important, but I need to give you this sword so that you can beat him, because it also has a mana drain, which is really good for casters, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to defeat casters and whatnot. So, you know, Kyle's like, all right, then give it to me, you know, and they kind of stop, you know, and the father's just like, Stan, how do I pass what, you know, things to people, you know, so he's sitting there trying to explain how to, you know, give him the sword, you know, which is also really kind of funny, because technically in this game, once you've equipped a weapon, it binds to you, so you can't do that, mistake number 5, yes, I will point out all the mistakes that I caught, but, you know, they end up, for the sake of the 30 minutes that they had to do all this, you know, they pass the sword to Stan, you know, and Stan, you know, beats the crap out of this character, and drains all of his mana, and beats him. You know, and Cartman's character walks over, and he's like, you've totally been pawned, and takes his hammer and bashes this man's head in. So there's no head. So they defeat the character. So all the other characters who are on the WoW are like, oh, my God, we've been saved! Yay! And they all come out, and everyone's dancing, and they're having, like, a rave party, and it's totally awesome. And so all the characters are all sitting, like, in the basement, you know, and they're like, dude, that was totally sweet. It's like, uber pawnage, man. You know, and it's like, and everyone's like, well, what do we do now? And Cartman's like, what do you mean, what do we do now? He's like, we play the game. So they all start getting back into game position and start playing the game. And it's the end of this. It's the end of the episode. But the funny thing about it for me was, after I watched the episode, you know, I went to my computer, because like I said, I play WoW, and I logged into TeamSpeak, and a lot of the people who are in the guild that I run with were on, and they were all beaming about it. And my guild leader was like, Suji, because that's the name of my character, if you guys haven't figured it out yet, come check me out in Thrall. And tells me, you know, to go to Ironforge because nobody's characters are moving. So, of course, I log in, you know, and I go to Ironforge, and everyone's characters just stopped. And it wasn't because everyone was, like, you know, lagging or anything like that, because I was running around, just everyone was so engrossed in this episode that the world
of Warcraft
had stopped.
That's hysterical.
I wanted to bring this up because I just thought it was amazing. And, you know, and that's all I really have for you guys. But, you know, wow. And good job, you know, South Park guys. You know, if you ever happen to listen to us and you hear this, good job, by the way. Besides those five mistakes that I picked up on, and I'm not even an expert, but, you know, I only caught on to five. But, you know, good job. And with that, that's all I've really got. So,
okay,
now,
you realize now that you have become with the Warcraft like I used to be with the Star Trek. You realize that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you remember how you used to dog me all the time about how it was really scary, how addictive I was, and how it was really bad that I could tell within the first 30 seconds of an episode starting what episode it was?
Yeah.
Which, you know, just for any of the Trekkies out there, it's Damok and Jalad at Tanagra. Okay, but anyway. But you realize now, you need help.
Yes, I do.
You really do need an intervention at this point. And I never thought that I would ever have to say that.
It's true.
It's bad. It's really bad, and I'm concerned as your sister for your safety and your
yeah.
I really am.
I can understand that. So, like Stan, Stan's dad, to Stan, I pass the mic of 1,000 truths to you and your sister.
Oh my God, it's so big. Well, I thought that I would be nice this week and back up off of Sony just a little bit.
Oh, good, because I'm sure they're pissed.
Well, you know, they've done more stupid stuff, but I'll get to that later on. But I thought that I would actually talk about a game that I've actually been playing in the few spare moments that I've had to actually play a game. I was able to get in from Gamefly a copy of a game called Genji, Dawn of the Samurai. I had seen Genji a long time ago because this game's been out now for a couple of years, I think. And I mostly wanted to play it because Genji 2 is getting ready to come out for the PS3, so I thought, you know, I really ought to probably play Genji 1 in order to understand what is going to be happening with the Genji of the two. And so I read a couple of synopses.
Synopsis.
Yeah.
Synopsis.
No, I try not to read synopsis.
Sorry. Continue.
Okay. So I was reading some synopses of the game, and it basically, from the things that I read, the game was supposed to play much like Onimusha, if you played any of those games from Capcom, and kind of like a Devil May Cry-ish type thing. So it was an action game.
Ooh.
And I thought, okay, well, cool. I like the action games. I didn't finish Onimusha, but the first one, but I really did enjoy the game. I just didn't have
time. Oh, it's totally awesome. I have one and two. I never got three, though.
So I thought, okay, well, I really ought to do myself a favor and get the game. So I did, and it came in last week, and so I put it in the system, but, you know, hadn't had time to play it, and I thought, okay, well, I'll get around to it. No big deal. And I've found since I've played it that, you know what, I really should have done this a little sooner. The game is very fun. It's a very well thought out game. You know, like most games that are, you know, the first projects from a development team, and Genji was the first project for the developer Game Republic. It's really a very well done game. It's the music is completely orchestrally scored, so it's a beautiful sounding game. The game is set in Japan, and all of the vegetation stuff, you know, the grass and leaves and the trees and things like that for a PlayStation 2 game look very, very wonderful. The only complaint that I have about the game, and really it's two small complaints, is that there is some lag. When you're facing a big boss or you're facing multiple opponents on the screen, that there is very noticeable screen lag, visual lag, however you want to call it. Dropped frames is what it is. And the camera sucks. You have no control of the camera. Camera positions are always fixed. And, you know, when you're playing an action title that's just a recipe for evil, bad, naughty things to happen, which ends up being the case. Evil, bad, naughty things happen.
Okay.
So, for instance, I'm into the third boss battle, and I haven't been able to get around it because at certain points when I'm actually in close combat with the boss, there'll be drop frames, and so when I'm actually hitting a button to jump backwards or retreat or move to the side, by the time that command goes through, I've already been hit and died. So that gets really frustrating. But basically, the setup's really interesting, okay? In Genji, they're basically this clan of, like, warriors called the Heishi. And all of the generals in the Heishi army have these, like, super godlike powers. And you can see it in the opening movie because this dude comes through and he's got, like, this glowing orb and he jumps off his horse and he just starts taking out, like, an entire army. And he's all badass and doesn't say a word. And you're like, dude, do I get to be him? No, you don't.
No.
No. But basically they have these, like, little orb thingies called Amagani. And with those, they're able to, like, multiply this extravagant fighting power that they have and just lay down a whole can of whoop. So what the Heishi have decided is that they want to gather up the few remaining Amagani that they don't already have to make sure that they can, you know, secure that they will be the absolute rulers of all of Japan, period. And there's only one person that can stop him, the Heishi, and that's your character, who is named Yoshitsune. And it's very difficult for me to say that name. I know that it's a very honorable name, but, you know, do you call somebody something where I can break it down and say, you shit soon? And it's just going to be all kinds of really bad jokes and corny jokes for a while. But Yoshitsune is actually a very balanced character. Kind of, I can definitely see why people draw a correlation between Genji and Onimusha, because he is just like the main character in Onimusha, in that solid, stoic, hero, warrior, but underplays it type thing. Yoshitsune is a little young, and right from the beginning, a lot of stuff gets thrown on him, okay? First he finds out that he's got an Amagani thingy. Then he finds out that the person that was his dad that got killed wasn't really his dad. Or it was his dad, but he wasn't actually saying what his real name was. And he was actually the leader of the army that tried to stop the Heishi and got mortally wounded. So he changed his name and made them think that he died. But then they eventually found him and, like, killed him and some shit. So he finds out that he's, like, you know, the last of their clan and has to be the one to kill all of them. And, you know, that's a lot to put on a young man's shoulders.
Right.
So it gets explained to him, you know, what he has to do, and you have to go out and kill everybody. So the next mission that you go out onto, you have to go through this town, and it's very easy to kill people. Your character is very sluggish in the beginning because you have to build up your fighting skills. So the more enemies you take out faster with taking less damage, the more you get rewarded faster and can build up your abilities. There are weapons that you can buy, so you can buy more powerful weapons for your character, or if you find special items, take them to an ironworker and have a custom-built sword. Or if you play as the other character in the game, which there are two characters that you can play in the game, and the way that this works is that at certain points of the game, the action stops and you're kind of like in a holding area and you get to decide who you want to continue on with.
Okay.
And this is always good because there are some areas in a level where
that
there
only
are, like,
a certain area can, a certain character can go.
Exactly. Or can move. So there are, like, certain boxes that, you know, Yosutsune will approach, and they'll be like, I don't think that I'm strong enough to open this. Or I don't think that I'm strong enough to open this door. And so that's your cue that you need to go back to that holding space and switch to Benkai, which is this really massive, like, if you ever played any of the Dynasty Warriors games, any of those big, huge characters that carry a big mace.
He's like that?
Yeah. Okay, he's basically a huge monk with a big, big mace.
Walk lightly and carry a big fucking mace.
Big fucking mace. You need Benkai to be able to open these doors and open these cases and probably take out some of these
things behind the doors or
in the
boxes or hanging out.
Now, obviously, because you have these two different types of characters, you can switch them at any point in time. You have to build up both of the characters, and so that's where the game gets a little tricky because the game is not very long. And, again, this is not a diss on the game. I actually like the fact that it is short because you can play it multiple times very quickly. For any mid-level gamer or better, you can probably sit down and knock this game out in maybe 6 or 7 hours. Probably even faster than that if you're better at this type of game. But you get a very interesting story, I think, overall, because you get to find out a little bit about Yoshitsune and his family. And then as you go and get closer to the end of the game, I believe it sets you up for where Genji 2 is going to pick up on the PS3. I haven't beaten the game yet because I haven't even had 6 hours to play with it. But,
yep, been there.
Yeah, but what I do enjoy is that the voice acting is great. It is not dubbed in English. Okay, so staying true to the style, all the spoken language in the game is Japanese with
Does it have subtitles?
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay, so, you know, the way that this type of game really should be is how it is portrayed. Like I said, the visuals are for the PS2, very gorgeous. One of the things that I've found that is that since I've been playing on my Xbox 360 so much, when I have had the time, you know, the graphics don't hold up to the 360 graphics, but they really shouldn't, but they come damn close. If it wasn't for the slowdown, I probably would be, you know, on this thing like a hornet all the time, but, you know, the slowdown makes it very difficult for me to get my timing right in these battles. It'll just take spending more time with the game. Another thing that I really enjoy, and I know that you enjoy this about games too, is when they're based a little bit on history.
Yes.
And basically, the Genji games are based on something called the Tale of the Hikai, which is an epic account of the struggle between Minamoto and Taira clans for control of Japan at the end of the 12th century in a conflict known as the Genpei War. I looked that up on Wikipedia. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
I love Wikipedia. It's just great for finding this kind of stuff out because I was really interested. I was really interested because I find that a lot of games that have been coming out in the past couple of years that are these type of action dramas and things like that set in Japan, that they tend to be based on some lore. And I always find any cultural folklore to be very interesting because it's very easy to, once you become familiar with different regions' folklores, to see how some of the commonplace tales of the day are being used. And I'm just seeing more and more games.
Yeah, you'll see that. You'll see a lot of that.
And I'm just seeing more and more games that are successful, that are enjoyable, are actually pulling from existing mythology or folklore.
Or history, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Onimusha, like you were talking about, like in the first game, you know, you play a guy named Sanosuke.
Mm-hmm.
But in the second game, I don't know if you ever made it to the second game or
no,
not.
No, I didn't.
You actually play as a character called Yagyu Jubei, which was a famous samurai in Japanese history.
Okay.
And they tie him into it, and, you know, and there was, you know, an Oda clan and a Sato clan, and, you know, Nobunaga Oda was a general for the Oda clan, and he did do great things and powerful things.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say very notorious things, but he was, in fact, a very great general. which I was very surprised that they would even incorporate the history, which I think made the game a little bit more enjoyable, because afterwards I was like, wow, and that really was a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, you know, he didn't sell his soul to the devil and he didn't become a demon spawn. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are certain things you can definitely rule out.
Right. Well, but see, I think that pulling and designing games around this kind of folklore allows, you know, the people that are making the scripts and things like that, gives them an existing, you know, emotional backdrop.
Right.
That they can then improve on. I think that a lot of the games that I have difficulty getting into because I just don't find the story engaging are because they're missing that fundamental base that of emotional stuff that's going on that makes you want to invest
Very
in
true.
The characters. You know, even in the Dynasty Warriors games, you know, which when you actually get into the gameplay, is pretty much just hack and slash. Just straightforward hack and slash. Find the big dot, hack and slash.
Now, it's not that hack and slash is bad, but sometimes
no.
You need a little bit more substance.
No, hack and slash is great. I enjoy hack and slash, especially when I'm having a bad day. But what I liked so much about the Dynasty Warriors games is that there is this story that is loosely based on actual history, and so as the elements unfold, I find myself being interested in them because I know that there is some truth, there is some history, there is something behind it other than just an element to move along the story.
Right.
Okay. Like, if you've never played, and I talk about this game all the time, and I will continue to talk about the game all the time, a game called Beyond Good and Evil. Okay.
I think you've mentioned it before.
Yeah. If you haven't played it, you really need to play it because it is one of the most thought out, enjoyable, fun, and intriguing games that you will ever play. And it doesn't hurt that the lead character is a girl and is the heroine of the story.
Awesome.
And doesn't have to be half naked to be the heroine.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you really should play it. But what I liked about it was that the story was so involving. It had kooky moments, it had sweet moments, it had sad moments, and they were all engaging. And I think that for games to be successful from here on out, they're going to have to be either just balls-out stupid fun that doesn't mm-hmm. require a lot of engagement, or they have to be completely the other way and be completely engaging. You know, I need a character that I want to either get behind, or I need a character that I want to see what happens to them.
Right.
And if you don't make me want to see what happens with them, I'm not going to want to further along the story. So I won't play the game. And I won't buy the game. You know? So
right.
I will probably end up buying Genji after playing it as much as I have, just because I think that I want to know what happens to your Satsune.
Right on. That does sound kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah, and the detail's really great. You know, you can buy different pieces of armor for both of the characters and things like that, and to look at the detail in all the pieces of armor, is especially on my TV, is great. And then when you actually equip it, you know, it doesn't, you know, just say, okay, well, item equip and give you the abilities and not change your appearance. Your appearance does change. So that, you know, that kind of detail always sits well with me. I notice those things. It makes me think, oh, yeah, they took some time with that. That was important to them. So this aspect of the game is then important to me, so I should pay more attention to that.
Awesome.
The gameplay is very easy. The control is very easy to use. You have a shoulder button that you can use for block, and then when you hold the block button and hit away from it, an enemy, you will dodge away from them or to the sides, you'll dodge to the sides. Then you have kind of just like the Dynasty Warriors setup, you have a regular attack, a slashing attack, and then you have a charged attack, where basically, you know, as you're killing people, you build up a, what is it called? A kamui gauge, and when your kamui is filled, you can basically do the slow-mo attack thing, because you can't have an action title without slow-mo attack.
Nope, now that The Matrix has come out, there is no super epic battle unless there's a slowdown moment.
Yeah, yeah. So with your kamui, you can, which you can upgrade so that you can do double kamuis, triple kamuis, whatever. when you engage it, it turns the whole screen like blue and everything's supposed to be like in shadow, and you're supposed to be able to discern your enemy's movements. Well, basically what it means is it slows everybody down because they all engage you one-on-one, and as they're coming in, your square button, which is your regular attack button, will flash, and while it's up, if you hit the button,
at the right time, you'll do a really super cool thing.
You'll parry your opponent's movements and then counter and most likely kill all of the, you know, regular grunts and things like that. You need to do multiple combos on bosses and watch the buttons and hit them, because not only can you parry and counter, but you can also dodge. And to be effective using combos against bosses, you have to be able to do all of the dodge moments as well as the counterattack moments. Otherwise, you get knocked out of your combos and get a big chunk of your life taken out.
Ouch.
Yeah, big ouch. Big ouch. But what are you going to do? Overall, I would probably have to give this game 3 out of 5 because it is a solid game. Even with the slowdown, you know, the drop frames and the
bad camera.
Yeah. If it hadn't been for those, it probably would have been a 4.5.
Awesome.
But because of those, I really have to knock it down and just say, you know, it's not a mediocre title. It's better than mediocre, but it's not much better.
It's not super great either.
It's not super great, and it's not great. It's just good. And there's nothing wrong with just good.
No, there's nothing wrong with good.
Especially because you should probably be able to pick up this title for probably around $20.
Sweet.
You know, so for a good title that, you know, you don't have to invest a whole lot of time in but will be fun, I think that Genji is a good way to go. So... and it's going to be a bridge to Genji 2, which I will be talking about on the website later this week, so be on the lookout for that. So that's what I have on the game front. Now, before we go, I just have to talk a little bit, just a little bit, about some of the stuff that's been on the website this week. I don't know if you've read anything, because I know you've been really busy with some exams this week.
Yes,
sadly.
I'll get on it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm on it like a hobo on a ham sandwich.
I knew you were going to say that. I love it when you say that. Okay. This week, the GameStop manager's big whoop-de-doo annual thing, they'll get together down in, I think it's in Texas, happened. And the big three were there, and they were, you know, come look at our booth. Look what you're going to be able to sell. You know, all that stuff. I don't know why I just did a voice. I didn't need to do a voice there.
Thank you. Come again.
Yeah. I didn't need to do that either. You didn't need to do that either. But anyway, so I was reading this thing over at Opposable Thumbs, which is the blog, one of the blogs over there, Ars Technica, and they were talking to some of the managers for GameStop down there, and one of the guys, and I wrote about this, was just like, look, the PS3 launch, there's no way that this thing is going to be good. It's going to get ugly, you know, before... it gets pretty anytime too soon, because Sony hasn't told GameStop how many units to expect, so they don't know how to do their pre-orders. Well, they're not exact. They've got a plan, but they don't know what numbers are going to come in to actually be able to execute their plan or not.
Right. Ooh.
Okay. In order to pre-order either the Wii or the PS3, you're going to have to put down $50.
Damn.
Okay, none of this $5 gets your pre-order. No, 50.
Nope, not anymore.
Not
we
anymore.
Ain't in little leagues anymore. Mm-mm. We're in the major leagues.
No, big swinging dicks only. So you're going to have to be able to put down $50 in order to, you know, reserve. Which, and no trade-ins. They're not accepting any trade-ins towards reserve either, or
wow,
towards these systems. So you can't even, you know, go, okay, well, fuck it. I'm going to trade in my PS2 and all my PS2 games to help get me a PS3. No. Podna, ain't happening.
Wow.
You just forget that. Just might as well keep your system in your games, because that's not going to happen. So I can understand them not wanting to take trade-ins, because they're not sure what numbers they're going to have. You're going to have some pretty pissed off gamers if they give up their PlayStations or you know, their old Xboxes or whatever to get a pre-order on a system and then not even be able to get that system until the new year, because GameStop's not going to have enough to fulfill that. Add to that not every GameStop is going to be doing pre-orders. It's being left up to each individual manager whether they want to do pre-orders at all. So they may just say, nope, first come, first serve with whatever
Holy
we get.
Shit. Right.
Okay. which, you know, really fucks up the shopping season for a lot of people because a lot of people pre-order.
A lot of those parents.
Yeah, a lot of parents pre-order, so they just go, okay, well, when it comes in, I go down, pick it up, boom, I'm done. I don't have to stand in line. No, you may have to stand in line, Mommy.
No, you will have to do battle.
Well, you know...
Come with your gauntlets, prepare to be thrown.
Well, and then... Okay, and then one of the things that was said was that seeing as how they're leaving things up to the managers can decide, you know, maybe I'll just call up some of my, you know, loyal pre-order folks and give them first dibs.
Ooh.
And not even put the systems out.
I can sense bloodlust.
Okay, so now, so, and one of the things I jokingly said in my post was that, you know, you should scope out your local GameStop guys now, ladies, if you're single, you know, and...
and seduce them. It might get you a place.
I didn't say seduce them. I said, you know, throw them a date.
She means do them, lady.
I don't mean do them because I am not the kind of chick that goes, you know, you should be able to get whatever you want from screwing somebody.
Hey,
it should
my
help,
character did.
But
wow. Should... So, if you got it, flaunt it, lady.
That's right, baby. If you got it, flaunt it, flaunt it. Anyway. Sorry, I had a producer's moment, but I'm okay now. So I think it's going to be really difficult for a whole lot of people to get systems because most of the managers seem to think that they're only going to be getting 6 units at a time, and they don't know when how few and far between those times are going to be. And, you know, out of those 6, they can take up to 2 to, you know, allow their employees a crack at them first. And then they get to decide how they want to distribute out those other 4 on the PS3 side of things.
Oh,
I don't know
boy.
What the, nobody knows what the Wii side of stuff is because we know that Nintendo's been in production of their machines for, you know, at least a month, if not more, because they've had their chips since July. So nobody really knows just exactly how many units are going to go out the door on day one. Nintendo has kind of hinted at what they want to happen between launch day and the end of the year, which is 4 million units, but nobody knows how many are actually going out day one.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with these launches. Microsoft has come out and said what the HD DVD drive is going to cost. And so it should be floating around in November as well. And I suspect that there will probably, at some point in time before Christmas, be an Xbox 360 bundle that will give you, you know, the whole kit and caboodle, the wireless controller, the premium system, and an HD DVD drive. I just don't know how much that's really going to cost. And no matter what, it can't be any cheaper than a Nintendo Wii. So the Wii is really going to be the low-end fun box that may be in significant numbers for the shopping season. So it will be really interesting. I'd love to hear what you guys think about how the holiday season is shaping up with, you know, these next-gen boxes now, because everybody's going to have their next-gen box out. And everybody's going to have some games for their boxes. I just don't know how things are going to look when it seems like really only Microsoft and Nintendo have the boxes to back up the demand for their product.
Right.
So it's a question that I have.
I wonder.
Yeah. But with that said... And because my gum is steadily losing its flavor, I think we're going to have to call this podcast toast.
All right. Well, what are you going to do with your toast this time, Ninja?
Well, I think that I'm going to just take my toast, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some peanut butter, and instead of putting the peanut butter on the, you know, the toast, like, right when it comes out, I think what I'm going to do is take the toast, I'm going to put the peanut butter on the side, and I'm going to make, like, peanut butter dippers. With the toast. See, and cut it up and just dip it and swirl it around into peanut butter. So that way I get some, like, toasty crumbs in the leftover peanut butter. So when I'm done with the toast and I'm eating the peanut butter with my finger, there'll be, like, toasty bits in the peanut butter.
Bits.
Yeah, toasty bits.
Toasty bits.
Toasty bits, yeah. What about you? What are you going to do with your toes?
I am going to engage in battle with my toast and turn it into the sword of a thousand truths!
Why didn't I see that coming?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's okay. What I'm going to do with my toast.
Well, all right. People keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming and anime podcast. As always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out.
And we're out.